Good morning, everybody. I'm Kyle Smith. I'm the campus pastor here for Grace Community Church's Dover campus. I'm so happy to be with you. I want to point out a couple of things. Keegan said he's the volunteer student ministry director. How awesome is that? We're a new church plant, and yeah, we can applaud that. Yeah. We're a new church plant with limited resources, limited staff, but we have people who said, hey, well, we want these things to happen, so we'll do them. Right, there is a church, there is a staff, and it's you. I also want to point out, he said, I'm reading Isaiah 9, 2, and 6, 7, and I didn't hear any responses, so good job, kids. Also, I am dreaming of a white Christmas. Anybody else hope we have a white Christmas? Yeah? I mean, since we have no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. So, I hope it snows, but do you think it will? Well, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, they said our odds, their estimate is we're a below 10% chance. The Tyler area specifically, our odds are at 0%. But they're strict, so if we bend their rules and sneak in the pre-Christmas snow of 2012, it raises our odds to 3.3%. So you're saying there's a chance. So let's keep hoping, right? What do you guys hope for? You hope you get a puppy this year for Christmas?
No.
No? A cat? You want a cat?
Yes.
Okay. Do you hope somebody makes the good dressing? Have you ever seen a turkey dressing? Do you hope there's not a fight over whether or not gravy should be brown or white? Do you hope the turducken is still a thing? Do you know the turducken? Yeah. If you don't know what it is, it's what Emmett Smith is eating here. Yeah. Okay, so let me go a little more serious. Do you hope this holiday is less lonely than last year? Or do you hope you get that second opinion on the medical situation before the year ends? Do you hope you can just get through the holidays without going back to that old habit? Or let's get real. Do you even have hope? Like, after everything you've experienced in life, have you been able to maintain any tenderness of heart or any imagination of optimism? Like, after all you've experienced, do you have any hope? We're going to talk today about why we can, but right now, maybe you relate to the psalmist in Psalm 42 who said, why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Right? This is supposed to be the most wonderful time of year, but you might be weary. And if you are, my prayer is that you would continue to relate to the psalmist and continue to imitate him, because watch what he says. Why am I discouraged? Why am I sad? You know what I'll do? I will put my hope in God, and I'll praise him again, my Savior and my God. He said, I'll praise him with my soul and know that my body will eventually catch up. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your hope that is alive today, and it is present in this moment for what's really happening in our lives. So help us to see that, to accept it, to welcome it. And Spirit, would you move and work in a way that can only be explained by you doing what you do? Would you use me in spite of me? And would Jesus be seen above it all? And all the church said,
amen.
Amen. Well, this is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent is the anticipation of Christmas. The word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus that refers to an arrival. So at Advent, we celebrate and anticipate Jesus's birth here, but we also look forward to his return, that he will come back and arrive here again. But this season's rich. If you think about it, it's about the Creator joining his creation, right? It's about the Almighty God becoming a man to save mankind. It's all about the person of hope, Jesus Christ, bringing hope to a weary world. Advent is about hope coming to us. And this hope is Jesus. That's where our hope is found. And it was predicted 700 years before he was born. The prophet Isaiah said, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Advent is all about the person of hope, Jesus Christ, God with us, bringing hope to us. So why do we need hope? That's a silly question, right? Like, have you lived here in this world? So the question is, why did God have to leave heaven? Right? Why did Jesus have to leave the throne to become a person to come here? Why did that have to be the solution? Well, we're at the beginning of Advent, so let's go back to the beginning of the story. Genesis 1, God created all that exists. He made a perfect creation. He made man and woman in his image. He told them to care for creation. He gave them everything they needed, right? From the very breath he blew into their lungs. He gave them food every day. He even gave them a warning about the one fruit that wasn't good for them. So everything was good. Before long, the people experienced a new feeling. They experienced shame. Right? Their perfect peace turned into a blame game, and their total freedom turned into hiding. And when God asked them, God said, what happened? This is when we see the reason why Jesus had to leave heaven and come here, because the woman told God, the enemy deceived me. She was deceived. So God's creation and his care for his people were perfect. And he said, and I want to tell you one thing, this one fruit is not good for you. Everything else is yours and it is good for you. But what do we do as people? Oh, I want the one thing that's not good for me because it looks good. It seems like it would make things better or easier. So they were in God's presence with God and turned their back on God to take what wasn't good for them. The low point of humanity. So what's your low point? Like the thing you may be ashamed to think of sitting in church. That's where this man and woman were, and God met them right there. He didn't turn his back. He didn't shame them. He met them right there, and we see the origin of hope. So God meets us in our worst moment and brings us hope. She said, the enemy deceived me, and God said, oh, I've already got a plan. He told the enemy, I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. So the low point in humanity is met with the promise of a savior. The origin of hope. And so this is the first time that man and woman, that people become aware of this hope. But the Bible tells us this hope has always existed. John 1, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word is Jesus. So in the beginning, Jesus, the Word, already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So this says, hope has always existed from the very beginning, right? This wasn't a second option. It wasn't an emergency thrown together plan. And it sounds a lot like what Keegan read from Isaiah. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. For to us, a child is born, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. Hope has always existed, and it has always been Jesus. Prophecies throughout the Bible confirm this. Kids, I know you've had a week out of school, so I'm going to teach you some things, okay? Do you know what a prophecy is? Yeah, you don't care, but I'm going to tell you anyway. they're on school break. So a prophecy is God speaking through a human person, through a human prophet to teach his people something, to warn them something, or to foretell the future, right? He's a good father. So he speaks and he warns and he teaches us and he tells us. And there are over 300 of these prophecies in the Bible that Jesus fulfilled when he came here. Now we're going to narrow that down to just 8 and talk statistics for a moment. Kids, you know what this is? That's a computer. It's what used to be a computer. It's a calculator. So just 8 of them. Let's talk to statistics. Last week, a man in Georgia won the $983 million Mega Million lottery jackpot. Happy Thanksgiving to him. Or not. Depends on how you see it. The odds of winning that one lottery are 290,472,336. The odds of winning that lottery. The odds of one person fulfilling 8 of the prophecies Jesus fulfilled when he came here is 1 in whatever this number is. 1 followed by 17 zeros. Somebody told me what that number was after the last service. I'm not even smart enough to remember what they said. But it's 1 in a whole bunch. So I'm going to really get you to wrap your head around this and use an illustration. Little old, maybe outdated, but your kids have had a break from school, so I'm going to teach you some history. This is a silver dollar. It's a silver dollar. In his book, Science Speaks, Peter Stoner used an illustration using these silver dollars to show us, give us a picture of these odds. Take silver dollars this size, cover the state of Texas with them, the entire state, then keep doing that until it's 2 feet deep. Then you take 1, mark an X on it, throw it in the middle of the pile, somewhere west of Fort Worth. Then you stir the whole thing from the piney woods to the panhandle, stir it up. Then you blindfold someone and say, would you go pick up the coin marked with an X? Those are the odds of one person fulfilling just 8 of the prophecies Jesus fulfilled when he came here. So when the Bible prophesied about Jesus and the hope what he would bring, there was no room left for error. Hope has always existed, and it has always been Jesus. And good news, that hope is present today. Jesus came to bring the presence of a hope that won't disappoint. Listen to what Romans 5 tells us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. So we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. So when we experience problems and trials, faith in Jesus is the hope that won't disappoint us. Right? He will lead us through problems and trials with a hope that will not disappoint. Now, the Bible sometimes uses one word that has several meanings, like the Hebrew language did this a lot. And here for hope, it uses the word tikva, which means a cord. A cord. It also means hope. So this cord was made by taking several small fibers and wrapping them together to make one strong cord, right? I don't know if you're getting this. I need a volunteer. Child, preferably. Somebody strong. Strong. Brandon, I think you're pretty strong. Come on up. Let's hear it for Brandon, everyone. Now, can you break this ribbon? Can you? Easy, he says. Oh, wow, well done. Now, this is a cord made by wrapping several fibers together. If you're able, please don't do this because I need this metaphor to last. But if you can try, okay. If you can try to break that, tear it in 2.
Yeah, no.
So close. Thanks, Brandon. So, this is the picture of hope we have in Jesus. It can't be torn apart. It can't be broken. It is strong and it is firm. So let me show you an Old Testament example of the use of this word. There's an Old Testament character, Rahab. We're going to skip part of her story on Family Day of Worship, but I'm going to tell you part of it. She helped God's people. She hid a couple of God's spies. And they said, since you helped us, when this city is destroyed, we will protect you and your family. But we're going to wipe this place out. So here's how we'll know your house we're to protect. They said, you must leave this rope hanging from the window. Right? So this rope hanging from the window let the soldiers know, do not destroy this house, protect it. Right? All their hope was in this rope. And the word the Bible uses for rope, tikva. Right? It's a strong cord, a rope that leads to a hope that will protect and save. Right? This is the hope that Jesus came to bring, a hope that is strong and firm and will not disappoint. And everyone who is marked by faith in him will be saved and protected. When this world is destroyed, we will be saved by faith and hope in him. And that hope is present today. But it's promised in the midst of a life that's guaranteed to be hard. Right? Jesus said, in this life, you will have many trials and sorrows. But he never dropped something like that in our lap without the other side of it. He says, but take heart, I have overcome this world. If you think about it, when he told his disciples this, it was before he went to the cross, before he died, before he came back to life. So he was talking about a future hope. Then they watched him die on the cross. They watched him come back to life. They watched him ascend into heaven where he's seated on the throne now, but he will come back. Right? So he brought a present hope, but he also promises a future hope. Because his kingdom is here, but it's also coming. It already exists, but it's not finished. Right? It's begun, but he will come back one day and fulfill it and make all things new, and his kingdom will be made whole. So Jesus is the hope that's present today and promised for tomorrow. Here's an example of this promised hope. God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah and said, I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not for the disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And this future is a promise of this hope is a future hope. Because the people God was speaking to through that prophet, they were entering 70 years of suffering and exile. But on the other side of their pain is the promise of hope. And the word used there for hope? Tikva. Yeah, a time of suffering will not weaken that hope. And if I can encourage you, this hope exists even when we think we've failed. Where did God meet the first man and woman in their low point? He met them with hope. So even if you think you have failed, God meets you there with hope. And that's true because of who God is, right? This rope was made by the combination of lots of fibers to make it strong. So this hope is not based on who we are, it's based on who God is. It's the fullness of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. The Almighty God makes our hope firm, not us. Right? It's not based on our effort and our work. It's based on who God is. That is where our hope comes from. That's what secures it. And it even endures when we have been unfaithful. Through the prophet Hosea, God gives us this picture representing us, God's people, and God. Right? God shows us as this unfaithful wife who comes back to a loving husband. And God says, I will win her back once again. I will return her vineyards to her and transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. And the word used here for hope? Tikva. Yeah, when we are connected to Jesus, faith in him transforms a valley of suffering, a valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. You guys are pretty quiet. I had to check my mic just to make sure you're with me. But I said faith in Jesus transforms a valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. Yeah, it's an appropriate place to say amen. You're right. Okay, now that I got your attention, you're listening, I need to confess. I got to come clean. This silver dollar is not real. It's an imitation. I worked in a rare coin shop for a while. It's another story for another time. But I can say with confidence, this is not real. Real varieties of the rare silver dollars are worth upwards of $1 million. This is probably not worth the $9.99 it cost. But imagine you found this coin. You thought it was worth millions. So you put all your hope in this. You guys stopped going to school. Grown-ups, you quit your job. You hoped this would provide all that you needed for the rest of your life. And then you found out it was worthless. You had put all your hope in this, and then it turned out not to be a strong cord, not to be a firm hope. But actually, when put to the test, you found out it was a fraud. So I want to pause for a moment and ask you to think about where you need hope. It might be a person or a situation. Like I said before, it might be the thing you're ashamed to even think of in church. It may be the thing you can't stop thinking about. Where do you need hope? And I want to remind you, Jesus came here. He came into the midst of our brokenness, in just the darkness that exists in this world. He came into it to redeem it. Right? He came to bring eternal, unending hope. He came also to bring you hope today. Like in the struggles you have today, he came to bring hope. And the only firm, true hope we have is Jesus. He is the firm hope that can't be broken. So don't put your hope somewhere else just to find out it's an imitation. Right? Why would you put your hope in a replica when Jesus came here to bring real, true, living hope? That's what we celebrate at Advent, that Jesus came here to bring hope. It's present today, and he will return one day to end the need for hope. Right? He will come, we will be in his presence, and there will no longer be a need to have hope because it will be fulfilled in his presence. And he promises to come back. Revelation 22, he says, look, I am coming soon. So the question is, what will it be like for you when he comes back? Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess he is Lord. So when that happens, will you fall to the ground in fear or will you bow in awe? Right? And it's faith in Jesus that saves us. Like the rope that hung from Rahab's window and protected her and saved her, that's what faith in Jesus does for us. And the hope we have in him is strong. It is firm enough to hold us and everything that we face. Right? The hope we have in Jesus cannot be broken. Its origin is before time began. Right? It's a hope that is present today, a hope that's promised for tomorrow. Hope has always existed, and it has always been Jesus. God, we thank you for the hope we have in you, a hope that will not disappoint. And I pray today that we would know the reality and the real hope that you came here to get in our mess, to get in our business, to disrupt, to shatter darkness, to bring hope, to speak louder than the enemy, to speak louder than our doubts, to speak louder than our fears, so help us hear it. Help us take our hands off of our ears and hear you. Help us to know that you are the real hope, the only hope worth allowing to be in our lives. It's God, we praise you for this hope that is alive. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's stand and worship. And you may have seen the baptismal up here. And at the 9:30 service, I'm trying to distract you from Jake. He's going to knock this over and fall on that baptismal. But I'm so at 9:30, we celebrated a baptism. And that is proof that God is working miracles today, right? It's proof that he's bringing us from death to life. So maybe today you are pleading with God for a miracle, and it is a reminder that he is still doing it. Amen? Amen. The hope we have in him is alive. So let's stand up and affirm that together.